Today's Leading Women, episode 500, with the wonderful Tanika Ballo.
Women all over the world, get ready for inspiring and empowering interviews from women at the top of their field who are kicking butt in their business and who are prepared to share shocking revelations from being in the limelight. You are now listening to Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.
Podcast your passion. Yes, did you know you can podcast your passion, make a difference, and make money talking about what you love talking about? That's how I get to do what I'm doing, talking to wonderful women every day here at Today's Leading Women. Want to learn how I did it? Go to podcastyourpassion.com. That's www.podcastyourpassion.com. Yes, women of the world, let's get started. I am delighted to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Tanika Ballo. Tanika Ballo is a leading creative strategist in digital media. Her breakthrough campaigns for clients such as Lady Gaga set the bar for industry success. She's the founder of Tanika Ballo Digital, a digital marketing group based in Princeton, New Jersey. Tanika's clients range from cutting-edge startups to Fortune 500 names in music, film, consumer products, government, and telecommunications industries. Tanika is passionate about architecting positive social media experiences and has been featured across news outlets such as The Next Web, Public Relations Society of America, to name a few. Learn more about Tanika and what she does at www.tanikaballo.com. That's TanikaBattle.com. TanikaBattle.com. Women of the world, Miss Tanika Ballo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Tanika, I really like what you're doing with your business, especially with Tanika Ballo Digital. You are a success in your own right. You put in the effort, you know, the sweat equity, the knowledge and experience to build a special business you call your own. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment anytime about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind.
Great.
So let's start with your business. You know, there might be people out there who want to start one and have no clue how to go about it. Can you tell us more about your business and the idea behind that niche?
Sure. So I'm a digital strategist, which means that I handle social media strategy and digital advertising for my clients. I work primarily in entertainment because what I do is so digital, even though I've been doing it for a long time. I have the luxury of being able to do what I do remotely. And I'm so happy you have me on this show because I really do think that women need to let go of all of the fears they may have about starting a new company, especially one that they can do from home.
Absolutely. I love your story. I love how you have this niche out there providing this the social media and digital advertising to your niche, and also inspiring, like what you said, inspiring women that nowadays it's not a problem. It's not a hindrance to start a business anywhere because you can do it from home anywhere you are, just with your computer and or in an internet, because that's what really connects us from all over the world. Now, I'd love for us to share with us what continues to inspire you doing this business.
You know, when I first started my own company in 2006, what inspired me then was the fact that there still wasn't a lot of science or accountability, you know, attached to digital marketing. Which I think people would probably be surprised to hear, but that just wasn't the focus. The math and the science of like the return on investment was still very shaky, and there's still a lot more room for growth today. But when I started, I was really very confident that I could add that accountability to it. I could, you know, really educate my clients on the best things to do for their base, and that they could actually see in real numbers and data how this is helping their brand grow. But now I do it because I'm passionate about it. And I think that now that we have a lot more of the analytics and the tools that we need, a lot of the passion is gone. So I think that's what keeps me inspired today. Just that I know that I care so much about the, you know, user experience. And I think that that helps set me apart from others, so, like myself.
What a beautiful story that you have. I mean, first of all, you leverage your experience being a digital strategist. Now you find it's your passion to help other people, especially in the entertainment industry, to get found on the internet, for example, because nowadays we are so interconnected via the web, and it's so important to be able to get found. And you found this niche, you found this passion, and that has been a theme here at Today's Leading Women, to find a passion that you know you love to do and that you know is going to make a difference in other people's lives in one way, shape, or form. So great that you shared that one with us. Now, let's talk about how you prepared for success that turned this idea or that turned this inspiration into a reality. Can you share our listeners what are some of your personality traits or your top three personal qualities that help you become a successful entrepreneur that our listeners can learn from?
Yes, and I try so hard to remember in these interviews that to at least remind listeners that there's no real black and white. And sometimes we can be discouraged, you know, listening to something as inspirational as a show. So if I say anything that may discourage someone, you know, please disregard that. We're all supposed to take out, you know, the little golden nuggets that keep us going. But I will say the one thing that keeps me successful is my work ethic. You know, being an entrepreneur, you really are a self-starter. If you know that you work well independently and you're, you know, most difficult critic, then I think that is 50% of everything that you need, because you're not going to have someone looking over your shoulder asking you what you're doing to grow your business. You may have clients asking, you know, what you're doing to complete their work and for status updates, but you will not have someone, you know, consistently asking you, well, what's your next step? What's your vision? So you really need to be the kind of person that's already, very busy in your mind and in your body, because, you know, it does take a lot of work. I also think that it's important to be resourceful. You're not going to have everything you need to start your company the way that you would love to. So there are things that you're going to have to be very creative about. You, you're going to have to find a way to get some cheap labor in some areas of your business, and then other, you're going to have to be really open to investing and spending some money there. So I think, you know, being resourceful, asking people who have been where you would like to go lots of questions is key. And then just doing the research. Google is your friend whenever you have any questions in starting your own business. And then lastly, I would say that I've always considered myself to be a brand. So as much as I've worked really hard for my clients and for past companies and for my own company, I've always worked really hard on the brand Tynika Battle, because I really do feel like that is the best investment I can possibly make in any marketing campaign ever, is the one on myself.
Wow, love those tips, those qualities or these traits that you shared with us. I mean, having that great work ethics, resourcefulness, being you as your brand, great values or skills here that Tynika just shared with us. And the good news is that we can all cultivate and adopt these traits or these qualities or the skills or values that Tynika just shared with us. All right, now let's talk about what happened when you started your journey as entrepreneur. You know, as entrepreneurs, we face daily challenges that define our being, and to get to those challenges takes a very special person, and our audience wants to know that special person in you. So what have been your biggest challenges building your business, and how have you addressed or overcame those barriers to success that a lot of women entrepreneurs face today?
Yeah, I'll start with the one that I still currently struggle with, and I know a lot of other entrepreneurs do too, is really delegating. So, you know, Seth Godin says we like to call ourselves entrepreneurs when we start our own company, but sometimes we're really consultants once we get into the busyness of working with clients. And I appreciate the definition right there, and I think it's a good thing to always keep in mind, whether or not you're creating a brand or you're just creating another job for yourself. But I do think that delegation is really one of my biggest challenges, you know, making sure that the parts of the company, the parts of the brand, the parts of my work that I should be doing myself and the parts I really ought to be giving to others. But I do know for a fact that the one thing that helps me with that challenge is having very strong team members. So it's a lot easier to delegate when, you know, when you know that someone's going to be able to handle it. But I will say that every once in a while, life happens. So, for example, we were in North Carolina for a funeral last week, and all of the work that needed to be done was taken care of because I have such a great team. So I do, I constantly struggle with that challenge, but I'm working on it every day. The second one is health. The first 2 years that I started my company, I don't think I saw the inside of a doctor's office. I definitely did not eat well or sleep well. So I would caution anyone looking to start their own business or just starting their own business to be very mindful of their health. Get proper sleep. There are all-nighters that have to happen every once in a while, but that shouldn't be what happens for you 3 nights a week, you know? And you should absolutely, you know, keep up with your checkups and get all of your testing and get your exercise and eat as well as you can, because, you know, 1 year of living really unhealthily can hurt you in the long run. And I think another challenge that I have is, especially in this digital space where things are changing so rapidly, you adapt. And I do believe that I adapt very well, but I don't handle a change in my vision very well. So if something new is happening in the space and this kind of affects what the vision for my company, you know, being able to be more flexible in that regard is a challenge. So you may set out with a specific goal for your 5-year plan, but you have to remain flexible in order to get through those things that change just in the landscape of your industry, because your industry will change.
Huge lessons in those challenges that you shared with us. I totally can resonate with them, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. I mean, learning to delegate, keeping your health, it's, oh my God, this was huge. I mean, I am a fanatic in terms of my health, but I noticed when I started my business, because I work a lot in front of my computer.
Yes.
There were months that, you know, passed that, wow, I gained, you know, weight that I never thought would do in my lifestyle. So you don't realize that, oh my God, because of the nature of what we do, it's really important to be consciously aware that you have to take care of your health first. Sleeping well, this is huge. Eating healthy, exercising, things that really keeps you physically and mentally and spiritually well, because that is really huge. You don't want to wake up 1 year or 2 years later that, wow, what happened? You know, because your health, I believe, is the foundation of everything that you do. Without your health, you won't be able to build this business that you're passionate about building in the first place. So health is a biggie. And then, of course, keeping with technology and being flexible with your vision. Now, especially with industry we're in, Tanika is, and for our listeners out there who are in this industry, technology nowadays is changing so rapidly, so be flexible in adapting to it. So let's learn from the lessons that Tanika just shared with us, and when it happens to us, we now know what to do. All right, I'd love to segue a little bit and talk about work-life balance. I know you've touched about one of the areas that I'm so passionate about, and that is health. And being a business owner myself, you know, maintaining this work-life balance is so crucial to overall success in life. Now, the challenge with entrepreneurs is how to click on and click off and create the work-life balance, particularly if you have a family juggling many roles. So in your life as an entrepreneur, how do you maintain this work-life balance, and what are some of the ways that you accomplish this in the areas of your health, your family, your relationships, and your business?
I think the most effective way that I found to maintain work-life balance is in the very first introduction with a person. So whether it's someone that might be a team member, a colleague, but most importantly, a client, is, you know, you don't want to start off with this long list of rules, right? So you want to show someone how to treat you by basically training them how to treat you. So when someone emails you for the first time, the relationship just started, and it's Sunday, 6 o'clock in the morning, and they need something by 8 o'clock, and you go to church on Sunday morning, and you definitely don't want to start a habit of, you know, getting work out before you go to church in the morning, is, you know, you have to let people know, you know, I'm not able to get to work until, you know, Monday morning. If you're comfortable Sunday afternoon, then let them know that as well. But letting that one instance go unchecked creates such a reverberation of many more instances where that relationship can get out of hand. So definitely setting that boundary is a very big deal. Block scheduling works for a lot of people. I find that I am not good at block scheduling my email, meaning, you know, setting aside just a couple of hours to do email because, you know, the nature of my work is online. I'm not able to limit myself for just a couple hours, but it does work very well for my conference calls. So there's a certain, you know, amount of the time during the day that I can set aside for conference calls or, you know, Skype video with clients and colleagues. And then there's other times where I absolutely cannot do it because I know that I'll be busy working on something else or I'll be with the kids. So I absolutely, you know, recommend setting aside that time because there's nothing worse than resenting another person because you're doing something during a time where it's really not convenient for you. And that's really my third tip. It's really just checking yourself emotionally because that resentment toward that other person is really not even about them. It's really about you because you allowed it to happen. You wouldn't be on that call if you had simply said, I can't do that time. You know? So I think that's an important thing. A lot of people have resentment built up, you know, at work or in their own companies because they've failed to set their own boundaries. So those are my tips for maintaining that work-life balance.
Huge tips there. I mean, work-life balance, I know this is an area that I'm sure a lot of us struggle with because I deal with it on a daily basis, but I love those tips that Tani could just share with us, especially about setting boundaries and expectations for with our work and with our family, anyone, everyone, and blocking out those time for certain activities. And I agree with you with Tani about emails, about certain activities in your day. I mean, I love batching my activities. And of course, if you're in the industry like what technique is when you have to be on constant email, then that's acceptable. I mean, that's necessary. But for example, with me, I batch the time of the day when I have to read and respond to emails. Otherwise, I couldn't. And I have to delegate a lot of activities, the admin activities that I have to do, so be able to open up some time, not only for my business, but for my family and for myself as well. So check what's acceptable for you and be flexible around those when it's necessary. It's all about finding that what's important to you and making time for them and blocking out those times for certain activities that are important to you, and make sure that you are checking in yourself and set those boundaries. Let your family, your co-workers, your team members know what is acceptable to you and what's not. Great tips here in terms of this work-life balance that I'm sure a lot of us are challenged with. All right, let's talk about success and what success means to you. Your business appears to be financially doing quite well, and with that success flows into other areas in the entrepreneur's life. Now, we'd like to say that success is a mindset. I can have $10 in my pocket, but my mind feels like a millionaire. I feel great about myself and I'm moving forward. The opposite way will be a multi-billionaire and be totally miserable. So am I successful? Financially, yes. Individually, probably not. So in your journey as an entrepreneur, what does success mean to you, and what are some of the benchmarks that you use to measure your success?
I think I love this question because it was it's something that keeps me thinking, because I'm 41 years old right now, and that means that I have changed my definition of success at least 10 times at this point. Obviously, when I was younger, success was all about money. And to your point, when I had a lot of money, I was the most miserable because I just really wasn't able to enjoy it. And even when I did spend money on a vacation, I spent most of the vacation working or worrying about work, which was a complete waste of my money on a vacation. So right now, what success means to me is exactly that mindset that you were talking about, and just keeping myself focused on the things that feel good to me. And of course, that's what changes very often. And I think that's another thing that people need to realize. You may set out with a particular benchmark and then you'll surpass it and you don't yet feel fulfilled. And that's because you probably you know, either you've changed or that wasn't really a true metric of success for you. So right now, I have to say that what feels good to me in all areas is a leadership role. So I still do find myself drawn to leadership, even if it's volunteerism. If someone asks me to be the head of the team, that feels good to me. And when something feels good, then I'm good at it. So for me, that's success. And I'm sure that I will, you know, pivot back over to some kind of financial number at some point in time. But right now, I'm just going with any opportunity that allows me to be creative and to really, you know, usher a whole team into something really exciting.
I love that. Success is about focusing on what feels good to me. And I love it about what feels good to me is what I'm good at. Wow, that is huge. I really love that. And yes, of course, I mean, we are in business to be profitable. And at the end of the day, that's one of the metrics of being in business so that we can sustain our business. But like what Tanika just shared with us, those intangible benefits of being in business is what really fulfills us and what really makes us happy. Being able to focus on what feels good to you, being able to do what you want to do, what you feel like you want to do, and being able to impact others in the process, being able to have that freedom, those options, the choices, these are all intangible benefits of being in business. That is the true essence of success as well to me. So for our listeners out there, I challenge you to ask this question yourself. What does success mean to you? And really listen to your heart. I would love for you to share your definitions with our community at todaysleadingwomen.com. Now, I know, Tanika, you've shared a lot of tips already for us, but I'd love for us to talk about one of the highlights of our show, and that's your advice for other entrepreneurs and those aspiring to be, especially to those who want to follow your footsteps. You obviously got some lessons learned under your belt of experience. So take it back to the past. Say you're going to start all over again as an entrepreneur and you are in a class with other entrepreneurs who are hungry and thirsty for success or even for making that first buck. What types of special suggestions or advice and lessons that you learn would you give your fellow entrepreneurs, knowing where you came from and where you headed at? And if you can boil them down to your top three tips or advice, what would those three be?
Sure. I think my first would be, I think we touched on it a little bit before, that there's a lot of information out there right now on, you know, statistics on women in business, particularly women at the executive level, and then what women need to do in order to get to the executive level and stay there. So, you know, you can lean in or you can lean out. There's so many different, you know, pieces of advice out there, but I do think that it's important to take the pieces out of that advice that make the most sense for you. So for some people, lean in gets them charged, and I would never you know, criticize that, because if that's what it takes to get them to, you know, make the phone calls or establish the relationships to make them successful, then they should stick with it. For other people, if they want to, you know, quote unquote, lean out and, you know, really just kind of see where the flow goes, that's a new trend that I've been reading about. Being open, being flexible for what comes next in your career. Again, whatever feels best is really what you need to do. The second thing is there's never a perfect time. There's just never going to be a perfect time. I talk to so many women who say, you know, well, I'm just about to have a baby, or I just started school, or I'm just finishing school, or, you know, my mother's sick, or we're trying to move a house, or we're not sure where we're going to live next year. And, you know, those things happened all the time. You know, they say even on average, every 10 years, something really major happens in your life. But in between those 10 years, there's a whole lot of upheaval and ups and downs. So you can never wait until you have the perfect amount of money in the bank, the perfect relationships. You know, you're not going to wake up and then all of a sudden this fantastic situation to start a business has just manifested itself. It doesn't happen that way. So don't wait for that moment. If you feel the inspiration, that means it is the moment. So that inspiration, I feel, is very divine, and it comes from a place that's bigger than us, and you need to go with it. Another thing for anyone looking to get into entrepreneurism and they have never done it before, I think a lot of people would be surprised how entrepreneurial they've already been. So I work with a lot of moms. I'm involved with our school district here. I'm involved with moms who do, you know, PTA and PTO fundraisers. And, you know, they're throwing events that are raising $15,000, or they're volunteering at the church because they're very good at administrative tasks, or they have a talent singing, or they're helping their kids with their own fundraisers. And all of these things are already very entrepreneurial. There's a service or a product and it needs to be sold, and you've already done it more than you probably imagine that you have. So I think that whole notion of there's a salesperson and then there's a someone like me who's not a salesperson, like that's how people speak. Well, they're an entrepreneur. I'm not really. I'd rather have a job. Everyone's an entrepreneur in one way or another if they spend the time to think about the ways in which they've made, you know, something from nothing.
Golden nuggets in those tips that you shared with us. So let me just summarize them again for our listeners. The first one is to lean in or lean out. Do what feels best for you. I think that's the summary of this. Do what feels best for you. And then the second one, which is really important, is to understand that there's no perfect time to get started. And I love when Tenika mentioned about if you feel that inspiration, that's when you get started, when you should get started. I love that. And for our listeners out there who are still on the fence or are just thinking of getting started, get started. Get it out there. Whatever your idea is, put it out there. Get feedback. Iterate from there. It's really important to get started because that gets you momentum. And when you have that momentum, it keeps you moving forward all the time. So great tip there. And then, of course, the third one is to get involved. Get involved in the community. Do some volunteering activities. Help out, mentor others. Something that not just involve your business, but something that gives back. I mean, I truly believe that contribution is one thing that is a human need that we have that really fulfills us and really what makes us happy when we are able to volunteer or impact others or share what we know, what we do, what we have to the community without expecting anything in return. And one way of doing that one is volunteering. Those activities that you can do, your time is a precious way of sharing that one to the community, your time, your expertise. So find something that you can get involved with that gives back to the community or to other people. So great tips here that Tenika just shared with us. Let's take action on them today. Now, entrepreneurs are wide readers. Can you recommend a book or two that our listeners can get that will help them grow personally and professionally?
Yes. One of my favorite professional advice books is Good to Great by Jim Collins, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. So it's basically outlines for you in very clear language and through anecdotes the ways in which a business can stall or grow. And I will say on the personal front, the one thing that will help you grow your business, grow in your life professionally or personally, is a change in your mindset. So anything that you're telling yourself that you can't do or that you're not good at is something, even if you don't say it often to yourself, is already there in your brain as truth. So when you're ready to, you know, change your mindset, there is where the miracle occurs in that moment. A lot of people think of miracles as, you know, something happening that wasn't supposed to happen. But really, for me, the miracle is in the day or the moment that I realize, oh, I can go about it like this, or this is the way that I can do it. So I really do. I recommend that if someone is spiritual, that they, you know, read the books of their faith. One of my favorites is A Course in Miracles, where it just helps me get out of my limited, you know, mindset of where I am today and how things look today so that I can focus on creating the life that I want.
So that's Good to Great by Jim Collins. And of course, A Course in Miracles. Yeah, I agree with you with what you said about mindset and really honing our inner game, because truly that's the foundation. If we can nail that one down, and it starts with changing our mindset. So great takeaway there as well. Now, this one has been a question that our listeners have been asking me to ask you, our guest, and that is, if there's one woman out there that you admire the most, who would that be and why?
There's so many.
I know.
So many. But I will, you know, I'm going to mention Kimberly Bryant, she started the nonprofit Black Girls Code, and she's basically bringing STEM education to kids in major markets across the country. And she's getting Black girls interested in STEM, and it's just really amazing to see her organization grow. So she is definitely, you know, a person that I can, you know, see on Facebook and touch and feel in real life that I really am looking up to for everything that she's doing. And then ever since I was young, I have to say Oprah and Martha Stewart are just standard bearers that you cannot ignore. I love their approach to building empires. And what I really love is their ability to be candid. So neither of them seems afraid to tell us, you know, where they've gone wrong. And I think that kind of advice is so valuable to someone looking to grow their business as big as it can possibly get.
Absolutely. I mean, Kimberly Bryant and Oprah, great inspiration there that we can all be inspired with and motivated and you know, just their story, just their journey really inspires us what they do and what they're able to accomplish in a very big way. It really inspires me too. So thanks for sharing that. Now, last but not least, Tanika, share our listeners what's one big benefit they can get with your product or your service, where they can get it, and what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you, and then we'll end from there.
Sure. So what I do really well is I help my clients connect their brands with consumers in a really meaningful way. So it's authentic, it's fun. And the one thing that most people come to me or to any other digital marketer with, you know, the challenge of knowing that they're not doing something really frustrates people. So what it is that I do is I just help you better leverage all that is available to you and make sure that you're optimizing every single digital asset that you have, whether it's your email list or your social media profiles or your website, you know, just really creating a really beautiful and robust digital ecosystem so that you can make money while you're sleeping, which is what we all want to do, you know, because people are looking into you and searching you while you're not, you know, working, and you want your profiles and your sites to do the work for you. So that is what I do. People can connect with me on Twitter at Tynika, T-Y-N-I-C-K-A, if they want to just shoot me a question, or they can go to my site, tynikabattle.com, and I would be more than happy to do a consultation with them or work with them on building their brand.
All right, so that's www.tynikabattle.com. That's T-Y-N-I-C-K-A, battle, B-A-T-T-L-E.com. I highly encourage you, our listeners, to go there now, tynikabattle.com. And if her products and services resonate with you, I highly encourage you to jump in. This is an area that I'm sure a lot of us can benefit from. Again, that link is www.tynikabattle.com. And from there, you can connect to her social media as well, like Twitter and LinkedIn. Again, that link is www.tynikabattle.com. Tanika, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time, your inspiring story, your expertise, for being a role model to many, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. Women of the world, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a beautiful voice, and I really love your purpose. And I really hope that you're able to touch millions of women this way, because we need it. We need to get out there and get to work.
Thank you so much. All right, TLW listeners, did you love this episode? Here's your chance to recommend or vote for your favorite today's leading woman. Here's how to do it. Step number one. After you listen to this episode, go to todaysleadingwomen.com/myiTunes. Step number two, click the rate and review button. Step number three, say that you love listening to today's Leading Women podcast. Step number four, type in the name of your favorite today's leading woman. Example, Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, Arianna Huffington of Huffington Post, Oprah of Oprah Winfrey Network. You get it, right? Step number five, type your first name and where you are listening from. Every day, I will personally go through all of your ratings and reviews and scour the names of your favorite today's leading women. You will get to be featured as TLW Fan of the Day with your name and where you're listening from. And you'll be the first one to get notified when your favorite today's leading woman is featured on the show. Fair enough? Awesome. Go to todaysleadingwomen.com/myiTunes. That's www.todaysleadingwomen.com/myiTunes.
Feeling inspired and empowered to make it happen? Then take the next step and go get your free guide to the top 10 resources that today's leading women use to stay at the top of their game, plus Marie's favorite today. Visit todaysleadingwomen.com/guide for your free download, and we'll see you on the next episode of Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.